Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Romance of the Two Networks. This side, it's the Scanline Kingdom that's a little short. I'm Six Detmar.
I'm Jackson Tyler from Noah Mapping.
And I'm Em. Do you think we're ever going to get a good streak where it's all four of us for like more than 3 weeks?
No. It's like it's our secondary podcast
on my end. So good job, everybody.
It's all four of us is like secondary podcast that we do because we want to read the book. I'm glad people enjoy it, but by design, it is not meant to overwork.
Yeah, it's not meant to overwork us. Em, you're basically only free to record on weekends. Jen and I both work a lot of weekends. We're all four in completely different time zones. Like, absolutely. Yes. The fact that this podcast happens at all is kind of incredible.
In theory, I could do evenings, but it's too late for Jackson, so.
Yeah, that's true. I get yelled at.
Yeah.
Oh, so every time I record, bonus lore, every time that me and Em record on weekdays, it gets edited out of the final mix, but my mum does come in to yell at me for being too loud in the evening.
Yes.
Well, understandable. Not much you can do about that, except for talk about the best book. We're getting ready. We're gonna have to order another book soon.
I have the my microphone. So I got a new chair for my computer, and it's taller than my other chair was. So I had to put something for the microphone stand on because the microphone is now not level enough. And so I put Volume 1 of Romance of the Three Kingdoms, but I need to read that and talk about it here, so I need it in front of me. So now Volume 2 is underneath the microphone. I bought them both at once, which is just enough. It's so much book. I can't believe we're halfway through because it's an intimidating amount of pages to look at and be like, I'm never going to read all those. And here we are, halfway done.
This is it. The halfway mark. We did it.
I'm not like tired or anything. Got a good night's rest. I've been up for hours. However, I am still stupid enough that I expected you to say that you got a copy with your chair. And I was like, wow.
My chair did come with like a USB powered lumbar massage pillow, which I refuse to use because it seems fake, but it did happen. That is
what
a thing.
What do you mean you refuse to use that? You should use the lump. What because do you have to lose? I mean, other than it electrocutes you, I guess.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like it's. I can't even feel the massage bit in it, so I don't understand what it's going to do when I plug it in. It just seems dangerous.
Well, okay, why don't. It's probably just try it by like setting, I don't know, like a do you have a sibling, a younger sibling you can force to try this?
Right? I do in fact have a younger
there
sibling.
There you go. This is so easy.
I thought you were going to say set it down on the table and play it. Something regular, but no.
No, I get to say that because I am the younger sibling and I know that this is the role of the younger sibling. I have been used in this context. It's fine.
I would not actually do that to my brother, but it is funny to think about. He helped me put the chair together. Like it was taking me hours, and said it only took like an hour and change. So you know,
you really gotta take it when you get bonuses like that. You really gotta like when I started me on dialysis, they're like, oh, you're gonna need to heat up your stuff sometime in emergencies. So they gave me a really like a huge heating pad that like is like 5 feet long, and like fuck yeah, oh, wow. I just put that in my goddamn chair sometimes. It's sick.
Yeah, that is sick.
It's a very long heating pad. Anyway, this week we read chapters 58, 59, and 60. We're through the halfway point now.
We did it. Halfway through.
And we're going to kick it off with our summary of chapter 58. Ma Chao avenges his father in the field. Sal Aman throws down his coat and cuts his beard. Sao Sao's advisor suggests he launch an immediate attack on the south, as Shuanda will be too concerned with conquering the Riverlands to get involved. Word of this reaches Kong Ming, and he sends a letter to Ma Chao, son of the recently slain Ma Tang, suggesting he attack Sao Sao. The letter arrives at the same time as word of Ma Tang's death, and a vengeful Ma Chao mounts an offensive alongside Hong Sui, a sworn brother of his dead father's. Ma Sao's forces are more aggressive and successful than Sao Sao anticipates, and he is forced to cancel his southern offensive. Ma Chao proves himself a frightening warrior, carving a deadly path to Sao Sao himself. Sao Sao casts off his coat, cuts off his beard, and covers himself with a banner in an attempt to avoid the notice of Ma Chao. The conflict between Sao Sao and Ma Chao continues to rage. What will happen at the next important engagement? Read on.
Here's a kind of rude hot take. I think Ma Chao's boring. I don't know what everyone else's opinion of Ma Chao is.
It feels like a person who mattered came out of nowhere.
I mean, that's a lot of characters in this book, right? Like, here's a new general, time to shine.
Sure, I get. But, like, I mean, we knew Ma Teng, and he was a loser.
Yes.
And it's just like, oh, wait, his son is, like Lu Bu the sequel. Like, oh, okay. Sure. Yeah, I don't have a lot on this guy. He's mad and he fights. I guess that's okay.
Anyone who can own Cao Cao is a good character in my book, just as a foil for that guy. But yeah, no, he doesn't have a whole lot else to recommend him.
I mean, the next chapter is where the stuff gets good because it's all about Cao Cao owning him, which is what I actually like to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough.
Because I love Cao Cao.
But you do also like to see, like, Cao Cao, when Cao Cao gets put in a tight spot, you get to see him, like, yeah, like, back when he, like, threw off his hat and pretended to be another soldier and told Lu Bu, like, oh no, Cao Cao ran that way, or, you know, like, smeared himself with, like, coal and stuff. And now we get him, like, throwing, like, someone says, oh, he's got a red coat, and he throws off his coat, and it's like, oh, he's got a beard, and he just slices off his beard. It's just like, all right.
Yeah, the part where Cao Cao is like a charming coward in peril is always good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love all that stuff. Photoshopping Cao Cao onto the dam we're in a tight spot.
I do also really like, I think this is this chapter, where he's getting ready to cross the river with his troops, and Ma Chao is coming. And he's like, ha ha ha, and like literally like stands there with his arms on his hips, like, I'd like to see him try. And one of his generals like has to like pick him up and throw him into the boat. Like, you're gonna die. This is not a place to grandstand.
Yeah, that stuff's good.
Also, this is, maybe it could be said that shame on me for taking this long to put two and two together, but I've always been like, oh, like, Cao Cao, he's great, I enjoy him, he's smart, he listens to his advisors, but he also comes up with plots on his own. At least in these chapters, he just asks someone else what they think, and then when it sounds like a good idea, he says, yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Yeah, no, he does that all the time.
Yeah, that's his thing.
I seem to remember him coming up with his own things, but I guess I'm just wrong.
I mean, he has before, but generally he just knows how to, like, turn everything to his advantage. Mm. That is why he's where he's at, right? Like, that's the whole thing. It's the man who takes every opportunity and the man who can never agree to any opportunity at constant diametric yes. destiny loggerheads here.
Oh, yes. Yep. We'll move on to chapter 59 here, which is a meaty one. Zhu Chu strips down and duels with Ma Chao. Cao Cao's doctored letter turns Ma Chao against Han Sui. Cao Cao, being pushed back, struggles to build a defensive wall on the banks of the river. He fails until a passing hermit offers advice on how to build it. Ma Chao and Cao Cao's champion Zhu Chu do an extensive battle, neither able to get the upper hand. Through superior positioning, Cao Cao is at last able to gain the upper hand, and Han Sui offers him territory in exchange for temporary peace. Instead, Cao Cao plots to drive a wedge between Ma Chao and Han Sui. First, Cao Cao has a meeting with Han Sui where he brings no weapons, and merely reminisces about the old days when they were on the same side. Ma Chao is suspicious of the unproductive nature of the meeting. Then Cao Cao sends Han Sui a messy letter that looks like it's been redacted. Ma Chao demands to see it and assumes Han Sui has doctored it himself, despite his ally's protestations. Furious, he turns on him, no longer trusting him. Seeing no other option, Han Sui defects to Cao Cao, and the two chase Ma Chao off. Meanwhile, the ruler of the Riverland, Zhang Lu, hears of this and fears for his own kingdom. One voice claims to be able to protect the land. Who is this? Read on.
So you might say that Ma Chao is the biggest idiot in this chapter, but I would suggest that it's actually Han Sui for not realizing that he is playing directly into Cao Cao's hands.
The part where he is being set up to be betrayed and the only way to like get himself out of that is to actually betray him. Brain genius stuff from Han Sui there.
Yes. Oh, I'm not ever going to notice that the optics of me just having like a conversation on horseback with Cao Cao for 3 hours isn't going to look bad to my men when we're at war.
And like, I'm not going to bring up the fact that he's trying to kill me right now. That would be rude. Like, my guy.
Yeah, this is a quality Cao-Cao scheme, this.
Mm-hmm.
Just playing on everyone else being too rigid to, like, the formal ways of having a conversation in diplomacy in ancient China, and just immediately tearing these two guys apart from each other. Doesn't take any effort whatsoever. It's really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do also, there's really good stuff with, I mostly skimmed over it because I think in the grand scheme of things, it's not that important, but Zhu Chu and Ma Chao's, like, like, dick measuring contest is honestly pretty good. Where they're doing, they're fighting back and forth, and Zhu Chu's like, the way I gotta win this is I gotta go shirtless. It's like, dude, what are you doing? And he, like, throws off his sword to catch Ma Chao's spear and break it in half so they can each fight with half of the spear.
Yeah, that part's pretty good.
It's
the fucking, like, Yakuza guitar music plays.
Pledge of a Demon. It is good to me that I'm glad that this threat, Ma Chao's still alive. He's still around. I'm sure we'll unfortunately hear more from him. I am glad it only took us two chapters to fucking dust our hands off and be like, all right, that's done. Because they're a credible threat in that they have a lot of, military. They're not, like, a credible threat in terms of being smart or knowing what they want.
I mean, they're a general, right? They're not, like, here to build their own power.
Sure, sure. That's true. And they did go to war because Kong Ming sent the letter saying you should probably go to war. And they're like, oh, sounds good to me.
it's interesting, like, in the shadow of the Red Cliff stuff, you can't really make cooler generals than Zhao Yu and Kong Ming in that specific arc. Now Kong Ming just wins all the time and is boring,
mm-hmm.
and everyone else is not as cool as Zhao Yu and is also boring.
Yeah, I miss Zhao Yu.
Yeah, like, after Red Cliffs, the, like, tension of that kind of military stuff basically went away, at least for now. I don't remember if it comes back. I hope it does.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember the book, the book is clearly shifting us what it's doing at this point.
So this is one thing I failed to do a good job of doing in my summaries here, so keep this in mind. The Riverlands starts being called the Kingdom of Shu here.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know how to squeeze that in properly, but keep that in mind. It seems like they're going to just start using that now.
Yeah.
But can slide on to chapter 60 here. Got a short summary, but I have a lot to say about chapter 60. Chapter 60, Zhang Song confounds Yang Xiao. Pang Tong proposes the conquest of Shu. Lieutenant Inspector of the Riverlands, Zhang Song, volunteers to go talk Cao Cao out of invading. He goofs it up about as badly as is possible. On his way home, he takes a detour to stop by Jingzhou and meets with Xuanda. Impressed, he asks Xuanda to come take over the Riverland. Returning home, he sells his lord on asking for Xuanda's help and convinces several other advisors to join his plan to hand the Kingdom of Shu to Xuanda. As Zhang Lu insists that Xuanda would never betray him, Xuanda's advisors plead with the Imperial Uncle to betray him. What will Xuanda decide? Read on. Okay.
Where do we want to start?
We could start at the beginning of Zhang Song being, like, Mi Heng levels of shitty fucking diplomat.
So the thing here, like, my read on this is that the people Shu are just, like, minding their shit, right? Like, they have a great kingdom, it's going well, no one's bothered them, everyone's been at war for, like, three decades now, and they're just, like, growing rice and, like, writing poems and being people living their lives. So when he rides into, like, the middle of palace intrigue that's been going for as long as he's been alive, of course he doesn't fucking know how to, like, do that game, right?
I mean, yes, but also he's, like, Cao Cao's like, haven't you heard about all the people I've killed? And Zhang Song, like, proceeds to list off every single time Cao Cao's ever been embarrassed. Like, that's not how you do diplomacy!
By being just like a plain speaking person who shows up and asks for what he wants, immediately endears me to this guy.
Yeah, I read it as more like Mi Heng's trying to get killed.
Sure.
Yeah. Like the part where he just like strips off and starts playing the drums, this guy would never do that. It definitely reads as like he's coming into this fucking ridiculous war. I mean, he's like, you haven't heard how cool I am. And he's like, yeah, you lost a bunch and killed a bunch of people. I don't give a shit.
he's like the guy who goes into like a bartering negotiation with like exactly what he wants to pay. No higher, no less. And you can take it or leave it. Like, he's just not here to play anybody's game.
Well, they almost got killed for it, so...
Yeah, no, that's true.
I mean, that's a fine approach for when you're, like, trying to sell your trailer. I don't know it's a great way to ask the, like, tyrant of China for help.
I mean, you know, he didn't... The thing is, nobody knows that Cao Cao sucks, right? Like, unless you live there and have met him, and then you know instantly. But everyone else just hears about this great guy who's been, you know, mostly holding down a very contentious China for decades now.
I guess that's true.
Well, like, apart from the people who, like, oh, they've heard of how generous and nice he is, when anyone talks about Liu Bei, it's like, you've worked for six guys and have succeeded in killing all of them. Like, from the outside, like, Cao Cao had one job, he's done it for years, done it mostly pretty consistently. Like, I get how these assumptions have come to, right?
Yeah. Like, he's had the one boss, the Emperor, and the Emperor is still alive.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, no, good point. And then, God. So, okay, we talked about last week. We were like, okay, Schwanda's officially over it. He doesn't care about honor anymore. Guess who's back?
The thing here is, the red carpet they roll out for this guy reads like the shadiest shit in the entire world. Sure. Where he's like, I'm just gonna go see what Liu Bei is up to over here before I ride back home and say, no, all these guys suck. And here they are with, like, a procession of people banging drums as they lead him into this house that they've occupied. Like, no, I know this isn't great, but this is what we've got. Please, here's all our hospitality as they lavish him with gifts. This is entirely them on their bullshit.
Well, I mean, Kong Ming knows what's up. I yes. Fully believe that Schwanda has no idea.
I think this is Schwanda genuinely just like him and Kong Ming are in accord here. They are just going to get it done and get this kingdom for themselves by hook or by crook.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Especially with like all the stuff in this chapter where they go on about how you can't be a good ruler unless you have anything to rule, you dipshits. Like,
but they're still having to have that argument. They're still like,
I think this time they are having that argument for an audience.
Yes, like especially with how he like portrays himself in the meeting, right? Like, he knows he is good cop and Kong Ming is bad cop, right? Even though they are both trying to get the same thing.
Even though they're both terrible cops.
Well, yeah, but like, it is required for the myth of Schwanda to work, right? Yeah. To have him at all times be concerned with the compassion of the people or whatever. Even though he knows how tactics work now. He has understood that through the years.
Mm. I just think this book is not subtle about, like, if Schwanda needed to be convinced, the book would show us that. It's shown us that 800 times at this point.
Well, he so. Still has...
Cao Cao really wanted the wives.
He did. That's true.
I mean, like, the end of this chapter is Schwanda convinced? So, like, I mean, on the one hand, this is a book that has lots of not real cliffhangers. But, like, we aren't, like, it isn't at the end of the chapter, it's obvious what's going to... Like, it's obvious to us what's going to happen because things need to proceed. But, like, they haven't established Schwanda as having made up his mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I still feel like Schwanda is still having some of his like honorability waffling.
I mean I feel like if Schwanda could go and take over this place like magnanimously in a way that nobody gets hurt, he will. Like, he's that kind of guy. He's not here to collect heads.
He didn't. He literally had that on the table.
I know.
And he didn't.
I'm just saying, like, going to Shu here, I feel like is a big, like, we can do this the nice way and just have a kingdom. We won't, no one's going to want it other than us, other than Cao Cao, and that guy hates us anyway. Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah, they're definitely eating away at his resolve. Like, I mean, there is, you know, there's a point where they're like, he's like, I couldn't possibly kill Zhang Lu, his family. And he's like, no, it'll be fine. You'll just put him under house arrest. He'll be grateful. And Schwanda's like, that's a good point. And previously, Schwanda would absolutely not have entertained that idea.
I mean, like, the arc of Schwanda on this stuff is, like, what the book's about, right?
Sure.
Like, he starts this book not even being able to fight back against the guy who is, like, here to execute him on false pretenses. It is about how, like, power is built, and the way that Shwanda goes about building his power, despite being, like, earnestly honorable, at least in the book portrayal, the whole way through, you know, and we can call him a coward because he is in many ways, but, like, the book portrayal of him is that he is genuinely cares, but that doesn't, like, change the effect of power on the people in the world, right? Like, he's still left a trail of disaster and bodies in his wake. Yeah. So I think the, like, things we are meant to take from the story and from this stuff is that he just has to fucking do it. It wasn't worth the waffling in the first place. That was the whole point of the... You had to see everything fall apart for this to, like hit. Mm-hmm. And that's what I take from this kind of chapter.
Well, yeah, the bodies are going to be there anyway, because the other option is Sasao eats everything, right?
Right, yeah. Someone has to actually do something, and doing something means murdering a bunch of people. You're going to be murdering a bunch of people regardless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which I guess leads us to the back half where the people of Shu, like the advisors, all think having Shwanda come is a really bad idea, as if now that they've made these gestures of, like, they went and entreated Cao Cao, it's not like he's going to forget that these people exist with this land that, you know, they can just close their borders. They're like, we can just close up, no one can come get us. They're going to come get you. You just have to pick who's coming.
And also, like, there was the part where after he first time pissed off Cao Cao, and honestly, I still think shout-outs to Cao Cao here after he comes in and spits some mad bullshit and Cao Cao's just like, okay, I'm just going to walk out of the room. That's honestly good control of your temper. But then, so another advisor sits down with him to be like, I don't know, like, you came all this way, let's hear you out. And fucking Zhang Song is like, oh yeah, the Riverlands? Oh my god, it's paradise. We're like, all our farms are doing great. We're really wealthy. We don't really have an army, because who needs an army? It's just like, it's fucking like gussying the land up for Cao Cao to take in the biggest way possible. So it is, you absolutely cannot just say like, oh, we'll just stop talking to people and no one will bother us. You've set yourself up on a platter here.
Yeah, so we'll see, I guess. But it's good. The stuff is good. The book is good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I guess, I mean, this is going to succeed, right? We're going to, is that going to be the, so it's going to be Shwanda, it rules the kingdom of Shu.
I hope so. Because, like, the place he's at is not cutting it. Like, you know, the South is just going to take that eventually.
And also, just how much longer can he, like, bounce around from kingdom to kingdom, right? Like, I feel like he's staying places longer and longer now. And it feels like the next one has to be the real deal.
Everyone's old. South's old. He's old. Everyone's old. It's been going on a long time.
Oh my god, this book is going to be about Cao Cao's kid. I just fucking figured that out. Sasa's kid's gonna be important for a while.
Almost certainly. I assume that multiple of our heroes are not going to make it to the end of the book. The book will keep going.
Because
eventually you're gonna get the culling of, like, I love Lord Guan. You like Zhang Fei. I can't imagine either of them make it out of this book.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, no way. Wow, but I do think they're going to serve... I feel like they'll serve Shwanda's son. Or at least Lord Guan will. Lord Guan seems like he'd be able to keep himself alive. Zhang Fei, maybe not. Wow. And now, now I'm just thinking of Shwanda and Lady Sun as like Amuro and Beltorchica, and I hate it.
Can't do that. Can't do this.
Can't do that. No.
Ado, aka Beltorchica's children.
No.
Not here for it.
This is all cursed. Right. This is so cursed.
No. I could keep going. I will not. No one wants this.
Is the plan to assassinate Cao Cao hidden in the brocade of that robe, the psycho frame here? Is that what we're doing? We're just going to extend this metaphor all the way out.
That's a...
Oh, right. He totally burns that fucking book. We didn't mention that.
Wait, what? What book?
Oh, right. I was joking about to Jackson about this. When the guy from Shu comes, some guy's like, Cao Cao's a great man. Look at all this literature he's given us that expands upon Confucius and Mencius. And the guy flips through, he's like, we know all this shit. This is anonymous stuff from hundreds of years ago that I have memorized. Everyone has it memorized where I come from because we're not fucking rubes. He just put his name on this. And the guy goes to Cao Cao's like, that's what he said. Is that true? And he's like, no, of course not, as he's burning the book in the fireplace.
So funny.
That's that is incredible. It's just like, and it is like, you know, they're like, it's called like the new text of like Cao Cao, and you're like, oh, he just wrote somebody else's words down. Like, Cao Cao is
you just go to Project Guggenheim and you find something in the public domain, you put your name on it. No one's gonna sue you.
Oh man, nobody look up Cao Cao's thesis. It's God, that's chapter 60, short summary, but what a fucking chapter. Man, I am really excited for this. Finally Shwanda will have a kingdom. Finally we'll have the three kingdoms. We're there. It's happening. Yeah. Halfway through the book, we're gonna have three kingdoms. They need names though. What's the name of Cao Cao's kingdom?
They've already said the name of Cao Cao's kingdom.
Oh,
well, isn't it just Han, or is that not it?
I don't think it's Han. Okay. Jackson, if they've already said it, you can tell us.
It's Wei.
It's Wei?
W E I.
I've seen that name, but I don't remember it being
applied to this. Yeah, I don't.
They're place names. Like that is where. Cao Cao is based.
No way. I knew that would go over well with this audience.
So yeah, I guess we'd have Wei, Shu, and the South, which I guess needs a name.
South also has had its name mentioned.
Okay, I always think of it as the South. Look, Jackson, I don't know if you know this, as the person who's read this fucking book, there's a lot of goddamn names.
You know what, I earned that one.
Well, whatever. We'll it'll become more obvious as time goes on. They'll use those names more. At least we picked up on Shu, right? We figured that one out.
Yeah.
Pat ourselves on the back for that one.
Yeah. We need to unite the three kingdoms back to the Han, or as I like to call it, Han Solo.
No. No,
there's
sorry.
No plugs in. We just end the episode there.
Yeah. It's canceled. You lost.
We can't end the episode there. We have to tell people we're not going to be back next week because we're not going to be back.
Oh, right. Yes.
Because that joke was so bad, we're not coming back.
No, now I'm only two podcast episodes away from retirement for a week.
Wow.
What could possibly go wrong?
I'm only two podcast episodes, three episodes of anime, and 900 pages of manga away from retirement for a week. I just can't not. I spaced my time really well. I just can't not be like this.
Yeah, no.
I get you. I got today, before we record a podcast, I have to play the entire forklift segment in Shenmue.
Oh, that's a long. You got a ways.
I do. But with that said, M, you have to go first this time.
Okay, you can find me on Twitter at EM_being. You can check out me and Jackson's podcast, abnormalmapping.com. I think the one you should listen to is our movie podcast, Repertory Screenings. You can find that at repertoryscreenings.com. We just recently released an episode on Ida Lupino's Outrage from 1950, and we're about to do an episode on Black Klansman, the Spike Lee film, so look forward to that. If you're listening to this as it comes out, you can still ask us questions about that, because we don't record until Saturday. It's the one podcast we're doing on our vacation. So that's it. That's my stuff. Jackson.
Yeah, you can find me at Head Falls Off, and you can support the podcast that me and M do at patreon.com/abnormalmapping, where for $1 a month you can get access to the Great Gundam Project, which I assume a lot of people who listen to this listen to, because it's our most popular podcast, even though it costs money, so but you know, plug it anyway. It's only $1 a month. People seem to like it. Mm-hmm. I'm completely thrown off and out of whack because I've never done this part of the
this part. Yeah, no, for sure. We're watching G Gundam right now, which this week has been pretty good. Jackson doesn't know, but I say it's good. Maybe Jackson will disagree tomorrow. And we're also watching Standalone Complex, which is always good.
No, I won't disagree, because if it's good, I'll be more mad.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. I'm more mad that we sat through 6 weeks of bullshit for this week. This show could just be good if it wanted to. It just chooses not to be.
It just fucking chooses to be terrible? I know. Why? Why would it do that?
Occasionally. Anyway. It just tries, and then...
That's the worst part, is I know, having watched two of his shows and not liked most of them, I know Imagawa's a good director.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway...
So I am Six Detmar. You can find me on Twitter at Six Detmar, SIXDETTMAR. I am here. You can find Jen, by the way, at JBU3 on Twitter. So I'm our Scanline Media representative this week. So scanlinemedia.com and patreon.com/scanlinemedia. Our $1 a month show is Oops All Anime, where we do little sampler episodes of various anime. And also, you know, we do a lot of other shit. We do writing. We do other podcasts. You should check the stuff out. We do a lot of it. I'm not going to say it's quality. I'm too close to it to know that, but I know there's a lot of it.
There is a lot of it. I listen to most of the episodes. There is a lot of it.
Until next time, folks. Read on.
Read on. Han Solo.
Don't expect to like him.
I didn't like Solo, actually.